It's Tuesday night, Jaguars fans. The Jack Del Rio show is on the air.
Boy, I don't know. I think he got a punt in here.
He's not going to. They don't call him Gambling Jack for nothing. Maurice is over the right side. He's got it.
Wow. Talk about a sigh of relief. I mean, holy cow, you're on the 36-and-a-half.
Yes.
Going for it on fourth down. Wow.
That nickname, Gambling Jack?
That's deserved.
The Jack Del Rio show on the Jacksonville Jaguars radio network is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show on a Tuesday night here as we enter the month of October, and we're pleased to invite in Jaguars linebackers coach Mark Duffner for an hour. How are you tonight, coach?
I'm doing great, Brian. Pleasure to be with you tonight.
It's great to have you here. Folks, the number, if you'd like to join us, is 355-NFL1 or 800-355-6351. Twitter, at Jags Voice, and we will get your thoughts on to Coach Duffner. Reminder, Sunday's Melanoma Awareness Day, which is brought to you by Genentech. Don't drop the ball. Remember to check your skin. Learn more at melanoma.org. All right, Tuesday's a busy day for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, Brian. We get started at about 6 in the morning in terms of really starting our game plan on the upcoming opponent, starting from the personnel groupings, the down and distance tendencies or formations, go through the run game, play action pass. We're really now just about through with our entire plan in terms of the game plan coming up for the Bengals.
So you're talking, I mean, and you guys aren't done. I mean, you won't get done till what, 11, 12 o'clock tonight? I mean, it's
well,
a long day.
Discussions can sometimes linger, so it can even go later sometimes, but we try to have it wrapped up really by about 10:30 or so. And really that's concluding the practice organization, all that set up and meetings, in terms of getting ready for tomorrow's practice day.
Do you ever get to work ahead, Coach? I mean, because, or do you start up fresh every Tuesday morning or maybe Monday night?
No. What we do is generally on Fridays, we have a morning practice and meetings with the players, and starting in and around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we get about a four-hour work preparation on the upcoming opponent, where we do a lot of the busy work, statistics and calculations and that type of thing, so that when we start again on Monday after we meet with the team on Monday afternoon, now Monday through Monday night, we're finishing that preparation. So when we start fresh on Tuesday morning, our thoughts, our ideas, our input that we want to give to the staff in terms of areas of study are ready to go for the game plan.
So when you finish it up, roughly 4 hours from now, will you be done, ready to unveil it tomorrow morning to the players?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely, from start to finish. We'll start with, of course, special teams will start at about 7:30, and Russ Purnell and Nate Kaitzer will have that squared away, and then Coach will have a team meeting at 8:15, and once Coach is done with the total team meeting, we'll break down to offense, defense, and we'll start right then and there installation of defense and then videotape and presentation. Yep.
People probably know that you've been a head coach before, Holy Cross in Maryland, that you have been a defensive coordinator before with Green Bay and with the Cincinnati Bengals. In fact, you know the Cincinnati Bengals organization pretty well.
Yeah, it's a great organization. Mike Brown and the Brown family are very, very loyal owners, and they're also very strong football people, and so it's a organization that's steeped with tradition and certainly in the football lore.
They come in with a rookie quarterback in Andy Dalton,
yep.
Just like this team, so obviously the comparisons are going to be made. And I know you don't look at their defensive tape. You look at their offensive tape. But when you look, they're the number one defense in the league. They've done exactly what you've done. They went out and got six guys, brought them in, and retooled the entire thing. I mean, this is going to be a very interesting game.
It sure is. I mean, like you've mentioned, their defense is playing real well right now. They're ranked highly in the league in terms of run defense and total defense. And then they've particularly done well on third down, and that's a real, real key point. They're right there at the top two or three in the league in terms of third down.
Yeah,
third down defense. So they're getting off the field and getting the ball back for the offense to hopefully generate points for them.
And before we dive head first into that game,
sure.
Just a couple thoughts on the Bengals on the Saints game from Sunday. Clearly, as a defensive coach, giving up more than 500 yards, that's never an easy thing. But how about 23 points? I mean, how about the fact that they had nine drives after getting touchdowns on their first two? Nine straight drives without one. Three red zone possessions ended in field goals. I mean, I think when you look at the big picture, you see a defense that went out and did a pretty good job. Not good enough to win, but a pretty good job.
Well, we certainly wanted to keep the points down. That's the name of the game. That's the, if you're leading the league on scoring defense, then that's the key, and that's certainly something we're after, and that was a goal for us to hold them down. Disappointed in the first two drives. You know, we didn't really, the first game this year, we didn't really start out as well as we think we needed to. But once we settled down, I think we got into a good groove in terms of stopping the run and also in the passing game. And we just have they're a team that can allow explosive plays to occur, and that's something we can't allow. And so that was the issue that I think we fell short on.
Other than Peyton Manning, is there a more difficult quarterback in the league to get out of rhythm? I mean, because the first two drives, what I think he completed, 12 of 13, something like that? I mean, he was just bang, 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 anything
well,
he wanted.
Well, Drew Brees is real special. He's in total command of that attack. They do a great job of tempo. They're quick to the ball and quick getting off the ball. He's got a quick release getting rid of it, so he's hard to sack. And then they do a great job of utilizing, changing up of personnel as a weapon so that you've got to be on your toes in terms of avoiding the mismatch that they can present to you from a skilled standpoint.
Well, and they got the mismatch on that 59-yard pass at the end of the ball game, which skewed the numbers up over 500. Yeah. Well, in general, not game plan, but in general, what did you do at halftime that allowed your defense to disrupt him and not allow him to get into that rhythm?
I think as much as anything else, we just talked to our team about, look, at we've taken their best, their surge, if you will. We had to withstand their offensive surge, their early attack on us. We've taken their best shot. We've settled down right now. Let's continue to play consistent Jaguar defense to make sure that, again, we're getting lined up right, that we play with good pad level, and that we tackle. A couple times our tackling wasn't as good, and a couple of times our run fits weren't as good as they've been. And so that's another area that we're going to focus back on. I think our guys, got so in tune with the passing game and trying to contain the quarterback and put pressure on him that some of our run fit and our run fundamentals, if you will, slipped a little bit. And on a guy like Sproles, he's such an electric player. I mean, if there's a quicker player in the league, I'd like to see him.
I've never seen him.
And he certainly was been a great acquisition for
them. I mean, I thought Reggie Bush four years ago when we were there.
Yeah.
I mean, he was almost unstoppable that day. And this guy, I mean, he hits that gear. It's like flash.
There's no question about it. I'm sure their organization is excited about the arrival that Darren Sproles has brought to their offense and the productivity he's given them, both as a runner, as a receiver, as a returner. I mean, the guy's multifaceted in what he contributes to their team.
Finally, you have two guys in your group who are new here this year. Clint Session, who struggled with the head in the preseason, and Paul Posluszny, who really looks now, a month into the season, like he is starting to play at that level that they paid for, an elite player.
Well, I can tell you this. I'm very much in debt to Gene Smith and Coach Del Rio and Mr. Weaver for getting these two young men, because they're, number one, outstanding individuals. Number two, they're great professionals. And Clint came in and started off well and then got a little bit of a head bump, and that slowed him down a little bit. But he's on his way back and very excited about contributing and has been to our defense. And then Paul is an outstanding pro also. I mean, a guy that spends tremendous time in this building studying, preparing, and, as you said, really is fitting in real well for us. Had a heck of a game the other day.
Well, then you take those two guys and you pair them up with Darryl Smith, who's a guy that everyone in this building thinks so highly of.
I don't know if there's a player on our team that's more highly respected because of the person that he is and the consistent player that he is. Week after week after week, he's making big plays. I mean, as evidenced by that, he had a sack the other day, had an interception that, doggone it, if he showed a little more of that Elroy Horse Crazy Legs footwork, he could have gotten in the end zone.
Well, I was telling him you should have run over Breeze at the very least.
No,
come on, you got a free shot with the ball in your hand.
I think Darryl felt like he had a little bit more room on the field and certainly ran out on him, but really an outstanding young man.
All right, we need a break. More to come with linebackers coach Mark Duffner on the head coach's show, the Jack Del Rio Show, here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, if you're a parent or guardian of a girl 6 to 17, stop by your local Bell store and register your child to become a member of the Junior Roar. They'll perform at halftime during the Jags-Bucks game December 11th. Registration now through November the 6th. For official rules, visit your nearby Bell's store. Coach, you've been around long enough to have seen ups and downs. How's this football team going to handle coming back 1-3? How do you expect their demeanor to be, their energy level to be when you see them tomorrow?
Well, I think it'll be very, very high. They're disappointed by the results of the effort last week, but in the practice routine all last week, they worked very, very hard, disappointed by the loss, and are very, very determined right now to get back on track to a man. I felt that right after the ball game and felt in our meetings yesterday, and so I guarantee you they'll be in here tomorrow working very hard to get back on track.
Let's talk a little bit about the Jaguars rookie quarterback. You see him in practice every single day, and again, you've been around quarterbacks for a long time. What do you think of this kid so far?
I'm excited about him, and that's not just coach speak. This guy is a very competitive, very tough, very confident young man. in addition to having the athletic ability, he's got the size, the speed, the strong arm. I love how this guy competes. I mean, he can't get enough of it. And, you know, whether he feels blitz coming or you show him blitz or anything else, and in practice, he shows emotion and enthusiasm when he makes plays. And when he doesn't win, he's upset by that, but not so much where it carries over to his next snap. I'm real excited about what this guy demonstrates in terms of competitiveness and confidence and ability to make plays.
What I've heard over and over and over, and one smart Alex disagreed with me on this, but yeah. Is that he doesn't make the same mistake twice, and then somebody goes, well, what about the four exchange snaps in Carolina? Yeah. But overall, you're dealing with a guy who, Coach, it appears, learns very rapidly.
He learns very, very quickly. He's very coachable, and watching the coaches work with him, and heck, I talk to him frequently too. I mean, I love quarterbacks, and I love what they mean, obviously, to our football team. And this guy's got all the things that, in terms of his personality, as I mentioned, in terms of his mentality as a competitor and as a team player, I'm very excited about him. He's not taking any praise. He's quick to point out that the line or the receivers or the running backs are doing a great job. And when you talk about him, he's going to deflect it right away, and properly so, to someone else who's helping out the team move forward.
What I liked about him was in Carolina at the very end of the ball game. It wasn't his fault necessarily what happened, but he stood right there as a rookie. First game, it's my fault.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that tells you he's taking control of the team.
No question about it. And at a very mature level for a young player. I mean, a guy that's just out of college and who's thrust into this situation.
21.
There's a lot of people that would cower at that opportunity. This young man wants it and wants more.
One other situation. It was after the game on Sunday, and Maurice said to the media that was assembled after the game, don't get down on this kid. We're not. He's our leader. And I don't think you can over or even underestimate what that means.
Yeah, and you know, leadership takes oftentimes a lot of different guises. It's how this guy reacts in the huddle, how this guy moves, his actions more so even than his words right now. And our players are not fooled by guys that are don't have the right stuff, if you will. And I think that this young man has a lot of the components of what I would refer to as the right stuff to be not only a leader but a productive player for us.
When you see rookie quarterbacks, is it a foregone conclusion that they're going to make mistakes? I mean,
you know, I think rookies in any position are making mistakes, you know, and especially when you consider this year the rookie players that are in the league, they didn't have opportunities for, like everyone has said, for ad infinitum. They didn't have the OTAs or the mini camps. What these guys have done, really, when you look across the league, you see these young players that are playing. It's pretty impressive, and it certainly speaks well for the coaching, but also for the attitude of these young men that are taking on this responsibility.
All right. And I don't know that you get asked this question very often, yeah, but how hard is Maurice Jones-Drew to tackle? You see,
I can share this with you right now. I have a little game with him. I'm in the back oftentimes behind our defense when he's running through there and he gets into the open and I'm the last guy there. And let me make it clear, I haven't touched him and not even close. I mean, he's very hard to tackle. And I think he's a superb player. And I don't think that I can say enough about what this guy means to our football team and also the competitiveness that he has and the pride that he has to be the best. I mean, every run in practice, he's finishing at full speed. That's why I said I'm back there trying to chase him down. Of course, he can beat me by a mile, but really, really a special, special guy.
He didn't play in the preseason, and so people outside of the locker room were curious, and yet he has 397 yards in four games, the most by any Jaguars running back in the first month. And it's the kind of runs, Mark, that really stand out. The one on the nose tackle in New York where the guy was squatting in the hole and he just ran him over.
Ran him over. Well, and then he had one the other day where, you know, if you saw it, he busted into the secondary and another guy hit him. He knocked him down, spun off him, and kept running forward. I mean, just the churning, the power, the effort that he puts forth, he's an exciting guy to watch.
How much better will he be when this quarterback is playing at a higher level?
Oh, there's no – it's who knows? I mean, I think it's just going to be exciting to see because, you know, he's doing it right now where people are loading up on us right now and, you know, trying to – intimidate the quarterback, trying to do all they can to break down our receivers. And as a quarterback continues to develop, which he will, and just spreading the ball out and opening up our offense a little bit more with the downfield passes, boy, it's going to open up things for Maurice and look out.
All right, we need a break, folks. You can join us, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Linebackers coach Mark Duffner joins us this evening on the Jack Del Rio Show. We're back after this on Jaguars Radio. Hey, folks, join the Jaguars wideout to beat the blackout on Sunday at Everbank Field. Don't forget the Flex Pack. You get the Bengals ticket and three other games of your choice, which could include Monday night against the Ravens, Monday night against the Chargers, the season finale against the Colts. Go to Jaguars.com or call 633-2000 and ask about the white out that includes the T-shirt. So, there you go. Does it include the T-shirt or am I just... Yeah. All right.
What a heck of a deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't beat that now. I don't think another club in the league has something like that.
No one markets like this group does. Yeah, now, people will counter and say, well, no one needs to market. No, there's a lot of teams that need to market.
Sure they do. They don't come through like this,
I'll tell you. You bet. Mackie Weaver and his team do a fantastic job of getting out there and putting packages together to bring people to the stadium. Of course, a young quarterback will do that. That becomes a big drawing card. We were talking about the offense. Want to ask you two more guys on the offensive side of the ball. We know Mercedes Lewis is, a tremendous player. The numbers say that. What about him, Coach? Have you seen him? Because you've been here as long as he has.
Sure have.
What about him has stands out the most, and where has he gotten better over the last couple of years to come to this level?
Well, I've been impressed with his determination to become a great player. I thought he certainly showed talent when he first came in as a rookie, but, I didn't think he was quite as consistent, maybe as physical a player. He had great pass-catching ability and movement skills, but he has really worked at becoming an outstanding blocker, and frankly, I think right now that he's as good, probably the best blocker in the league as a tight end. And then when you look at what he's done as a receiver with the target that he presents and the speed and his catching skills, I mean, he is a dominant football player and a guy that I think because he's worked so hard, he's improved his strength, he's improved his ability to block, and I'm just a big, big fan of him.
There are a lot of tight ends this year who have had some big games. Why is the tight end such a difficult position to cover all of a sudden? Is it because there are better athletes at the position? Or linebackers have changed the way they play the game?
We're still trying to play it as good as we can to the linebacker position. But these tight ends, with the size that they got, guys that are like Mercedes, they have the kind of height, and then also have the kind of speed that they've got. I mean, they've got speed like a receiver, and yet they're big and strong, and so that they can be flexed out to take up space and to become a receiver, but they can get into the line of scrimmage and knock yourself on your backside. So, I mean, they're really, I think, a unique athlete on the field.
I mean, you see what they want to do with Zach Miller, just like Owen Daniels, just like Dallas Clark. I mean, that not even as big as a Mercedes, but a guy who creates a matchup problem instantaneously.
Big time. And, that's why a lot of teams, including us, as you're looking at those type of players, you wrestle with whether you're going to keep your base defense out there or you're going to bring in a defensive back, meaning your subgroup or nickel group. And then now you – with that kind of guy who can also block, you put yourself maybe in jeopardy in the run game. So it's a great situation to have, and we're sure glad we've got Mercedes for us.
And the other guy I want to ask you about is Uche Nwaneri, and people might be thinking, why? Well, because we haven't mentioned his name much this year, which I think is a good sign for the right guard on this football team.
No question.
And he's a guy that the Jaguars invested in with a new contract last year. What do you see from him?
I see a smart player, a guy that's really improved in terms of that, the smartness in his play. He always had talent, and he got a chance to play early, but now he's playing like the vet. I think being around Brad Meester and certainly being under the tutelage of Andy Heck and Ron Heller, he's taken a lot of these coaching points and made them a strong part of his game. So, yes, he's got size and strength and the physical attributes, but I think he's ahead of the game right now in terms of the maturity and the wisdom, if you will, that he's playing with in the offensive line.
Gene Smith was in here for about a half an hour before we began this show, and we were talking, getting ready for pregame on Sunday, and he used the word consistency and inconsistency over and over and over, talking about players and working through. You just used the key word with respect to a couple of different guys, but I want to ask you about Nwaneri, because the knock on him, Jeff Lagerman would tell you, was that he was inconsistent. He could have 10 great plays and then two that were not so great. How does a guy, at any position, but you can use guard if you choose, how does a guy work through the inconsistencies? Is that time in the film room? Is that time sitting with the coach? How do you get to be consistent?
I think it is the total preparation that that you're kind of describing right there. It is time on your own in terms of study of the opponent, studying yourself, watching your ability to, if it's offensive line, to pass at what's my base, what's my stance, how do I block, looking at the opponent's strengths and weaknesses, getting with your coaches and understanding the proper fundamentals of technique. I mean, at all of our positions, that's the goal, is to be the most consistent you can be. And that's what separates the guys that are really the dominant players in the league and those that aren't. All have talent, but it's a guy that can play consistently for 60 minutes, snap after snap, and can win the one-on-ones are the guys that are going to be your dominant players.
Well, Gene has a phrase he uses all the time, time on task. And you look at it. You look at a Juan Arias now who's been in that job for a couple of years, who's a fifth-year player. I mean, even Mercedes took a couple. The first 3 years he was around, a little up and down, was not the dominant player. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you draft guys and you want them to come in and be stars right away, but for the predominant number of players, that's just not the case. It takes 4 or 5 years.
You know, I think that at other positions, sometimes the rule of thumb is about 3 years, you know, because it is an adjustment from speed, from size, from scheme, from terminology, et cetera. And I think what Gene said, and very accurately said, time on task, that's the thing that we're trying to do on defense, is that we think the pathway to execution is paved with repetition. And the more you
write that down, Joe.
I didn't author that or coin that, but it's a great, great statement that the more you do a task, whether it's blocking, whether it's writing, whether it's flying, whatever the case may be, the better you're going to be at that thing. And it's, you know, studies in all areas have proven those that work the hardest at it and do it the most number of times are the best. And so that's a key thing.
All right. When we come back from this break, let's talk about the Bengals. We'll talk about their rookie quarterback. We'll talk about Cedric Benson, Jermaine Gresham, A.J. Green, and the number one defense in football in Cincinnati. Hey, folks, when you're looking for department store style this fall at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart offers you more fashion at less price. More to come with the Jack Del Rio Show. And guest host this evening, linebackers coach Mark Duffner, when we return on the Jaguars. I'd like to thank the good folks at CBS Seafood for their contribution to the Jack Del Rio Show this evening. Scallops, shrimp, black and red fish, they do it right. And if you would like to taste some of their delicious fare, well, you can go to your grocer's frozen food section, or you can come to the South End Zone here on Sunday when the Jaguars host the Bengals. 1 o'clock, the Pepsi Pavilion will be open, and it will smell like right off the dock. It'll smell good. Maybe not quite right off the dock. Maybe cooked a little bit more than that. But very, very good. You don't want to miss it. Thanks, CBest Seafood. Check the frozen food section at your favorite grocer for their outstanding food. Brian Sexton back with Mark Duffner, the Jaguars linebackers coach. You can join us 355-NFL1 at Jags Voice if you'd like to send a tweet. Let's go to their rookie quarterback, Andy Dalton. A lot of people around here follow college football, and they watched him play against Wisconsin in that Rose Bowl, and he was magnificent. He is not as big as Gabbert, but is a guy with a good arm. So tell me what you see in Andy Dalton looking at the tape this week, Coach.
You know, again, I see a guy that's I think doing a real good job for a young rookie thrust into a starting position, much like Blaine. I mean, I think they're doing a nice job of putting the game plan around what his skills are and his strengths are right now. But he's making good decisions. He's got good escapability in terms of when you put pressure on him, he can get out of trouble. He's got an accurate arm in terms of more of the short game, but I think he's got a strong enough arm if they want to take shots. So far, so good. I think he's been able to operate their offense pretty well.
You know, he's a guy that just looks comfortable. And we talked earlier about the number of young players coming in and looking comfortable. And there is a level of amazement to it because they missed the entire offseason.
You know, I think it takes a special individual. And that's part of what Gene and his staff do in terms of trying to select a player at any position, especially a quarterback, to make sure they have what we hope are the proper makeup characteristics in terms of confidence, in terms of poise, in terms of maturity. And I think that, you know, Andy demonstrates that a little bit for them, much like Blaine's doing for us.
He has a weapon in A.J. Green, fourth overall pick of the draft. And I know you coach the linebackers, but you watch the tape.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you see from this kid?
Rare. Yeah. I mean, this guy's got height, speed, suddenness, leaping ability, explosiveness. I mean, he's a touchdown waiting to happen, and it's scary. You know, he's a guy you can often refer to as a bomb ready to blow up at any time in terms of making a big, big play. So I don't mean to get too military on this, but, I mean, he does have really explosive ability.
6'4", 207. That's a matchup problem for almost every corner in the league, isn't it?
And then some, because, again, his ability to jump and his suddenness and his ability to get the – pluck the ball out of the air.
You don't suppose any of your linebackers are ever going to find him lined up over them, do you?
Well, I we're going to try to avoid that situation if we can.
You're
absolutely correct.
And the great thing for a young quarterback to have a receiver like that is when you get in danger, you can throw it up and he can go get it.
No question about that. And they've got another good, a good core of receivers and a tight end, I think, that's doing real well for him. And in Gresham, a guy that's, I think, a good blocker and also a very good receiver. He's their
6'5", 260.
Second leading receiver, and I think that you know, Dalton's looking at him again as another, not safety valve, so to speak, but a go-to guy to get the ball to.
Are they putting the, I mean, they put the ball up 36 times last week against the Bills. Are they sort of transitioning into, not, there's no sort of about it. When you throw the ball 42 times like you guys did here last week, you're saying we accept the fact that the NFL is a pass-first league now.
Well, I you know, looking at their offense a little bit, I think that they're trying to get balanced. They've I think, really emphasized the run game early this year to kind of get him off on a good start, if you will, try to make some of the decisions that he would make a little easier based on they got strength in a solid offensive line, two real good tackles, and certainly Cedric Benson's been doing a nice job of running for him.
4.5 per carry, you like that.
I mean, you know,
he's just
behind
Maurice.
Yeah, he's, I think, fifth or sixth in the league, I think, right now, and Bernard's got another good back that they've got. So now I think, and because last week they got behind, they were, I think, behind 17-3 to Buffalo, and so they had to put it up a little bit more to get back into it and give him and their offense credit. They got back into it and then some to win the ball game.
If I remember in 2008, this was an 0-8 team, and Benson was that guy that kept them in the – Benson and Chad Johnson, you know, they were able to get a couple of touchdowns today, but it was Benson that day that was really the matchup problem for the Jaguars.
He gave us trouble. There's no question about that. We have high respect for him. Again, the ability that he brings in terms of running hard. He is a tough, hard inside runner who not only has power but has good balance too. So, you know, we're very concerned about what he can bring in terms of their running the game.
Here's probably as good an opportunity as any for a linebacker's coach to explain what a run fit is.
Well, you know, based on your defensive front, the defensive line have different gaps that they're responsible for, and the linebacker, knowing what the front is, has to fit in the gaps the line are not in. And so that we've got to be – absolute and decisive in our run fits, or now we create a crease in the front, and now the backs are good enough to find that crease and try to get north south on it. So, you know, it's real imperative that our linebackers understand where they fit in terms of the defensive scheme that we've got on each running play, knowing the mannerisms of the back, and then playing with good low pad level and finishing on the ball and making a tackle.
All right, we're due for a break. Let's go ahead and take it now. More to come with Jaguars linebackers coach Mark Duffner here on the Jack Del Rio Show, and you're listening on Jaguars Radio. Well, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than the folks at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Have a tweet, Coach. This gentleman would like to know what, who, or which group has made the biggest step forward and made the biggest difference in improvement on the defense in 2011. Can you point to one guy or one group in particular? The linebackers, probably.
Well, I think that being that we have two new players in that group, that they may be certainly strong candidates for that. I've been awful impressed with the play of our defensive front. You know, when you think about what Tyson and Terrence have brought to the group, and then Jeremy Mincy and Matt Roth, and when we get Campman back in there, all these guys, Austin Lane, the D-line's played well, I think, then that's where it all starts. You got to be strong up the middle. You got to be strong at the line of scrimmage, and certainly the linebackers have to complement that group. And then I think that, I think Rasheen Mathis is playing, you know, as good a ball as I've seen. He was playing very well when I first came here in 06, and certainly he played well in 05 before I got here. But then he struggled with some injuries, but I think he's back on top of his game and really being productive.
Let's talk about Terrence Knight for just a moment, because when Paul Posluszny got here, I said to him, have you ever? He goes, no. I mean, I didn't even get the question out of my mouth. He goes, no. That's like playing behind two big, strong men up there. And Knighton's a guy that didn't play a lot, trying to get his weight under control in the preseason. And yet, boy, watching him against Carolina at the end of the ball game and last week, you were here when Stroud and Henderson were playing at a very high level.
Yes.
This guy belongs right there, if not above that.
No question about it. And the thing that's so exciting about what Terrence and Tyson Alo bring along is they're young players. And as you said, I mean, shoot, when we were when I was at Green Bay or at Cincinnati, and we watched and played against Jacksonville, and you saw the defense play like it did. It all stemmed from the play of Henderson and Stroud, and certainly everybody emanated around that. And we're really in the same mold right now, developing that with what Terrence and Tyson do.
Terrence is so powerful. He's not very tall. Obviously, he's wide, and he's got punch. He's got power.
He's got explosiveness, too. He's got a very explosive short punch and step.
Quick feet.
I mean, for a guy his size and for anybody's size, right. I mean, he's got great quickness. When you watch him, he can work not only in terms of strike and delivery on the guards or the center, but his ability to move and even step around those guys is really exciting. So We're looking for big, big things and contribution from him.
How about the combination of that's two different styles that you have with Knighton and with Alualu. Mm-hmm. From a linebacker's perspective, to have that explosive up-the-field guy in Alualu and that just push the entire line back in Terrence Knighton, it's an interesting combination. How easy or how much better does a linebacker function with those guys up front?
A heck of a lot better. And that's why I think that Paul, you know, and the rest of them have taken those guys out to dinner. They recognize that their job is made much easier by the fact that the offensive line has to account for these guys. And we talk about that they've got their guys that command four hands. In other words, four hands got to block these guys. And that means two blockers. And so that when they can occupy and eat up blockers, and then if you take the blocker off by virtue of your fit, now they get a chance to go one-on-one and make their plays. It's very, very important to our scheme.
We need a break. Let's go ahead and take it. When we come back, I want to ask you about Jeremy Mincy, who always seems to be around the quarterback, and Austin Lane, another young player who's a big, strong guy and got his first sack last week. So more on the defense when we return with Mark Duffner on the Jack Del Rio Show. And we're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Rolling right along here. The hour's flying by with Jaguars linebackers coach Mark Duffner here on the Jack Del Rio Show. You are free to join us, 355-NFL1, or if you'd like, you can send a tweet to @JagsVoice, just like this gentleman did. Jags Outsider was wondering what Coach Duffner thinks about Clint Sessions so far.
Again, you know, we're excited to have him as part of our defense. We have high expectation for his ability to contribute in a big way to our defense. He's a very explosive player, a very hard hitter that right now has been kind of coming on every week better and better because, again, he missed some preseason based on a head concussion that he had. And then in the first ball game, we emphasized our sub or nickel defense. So he's really into the thick of it right now, and I think you're going to see more and more exciting play from Clint Sessions.
And the follow-up was why he doesn't play quite as much, and that's because you got to get into those sub packages, right? That's
correct. You know, we have gone in really with two packages. One where we've got only one linebacker in a scheme, and that's been divvied up at the moment between Daryl and Paul Posluszny, Daryl Smith. And then there's someone where we have two backers in the game, and that's been with Paul and Daryl. So although Clint has been substituting some in there for Daryl in that situation too, so. His last week was the most he's played in the ball games that we've had so far, and I think his reps will continue to improve and spike up.
All right, how about a couple questions on the defensive ends? Austin Lane got his first sack last week.
We're excited about that.
Big guy. I mean, you could tell when he came back.
Yeah.
From not even having an offseason, which would have been his first.
Correct.
He came back cut.
Yeah.
He was ready to go.
Ready to go is absolutely a great description because from the first practice, you know, till this sack the other day, he's been coming on. He's got a relentless motor, if you will. People talk about the motor of a player, but his effort. He is a guy that really, really plays very, very hard and is hunting the ball down, run and pass, and he's been a big contributor to our front.
He's a guy that looks like he's got some pass rush ability, too.
Oh, no question
about
that.
Not just push. He's a big, strong guy,
but
he gets some pass rush.
Yeah, he's got the ability to dip and lean. He's got power, and like I said, with his ability, his balance, he can get around tackles and or linemen, guards, and give pressure that we need on the quarterback.
Jeremy Mincy has three accrued seasons. It seems like he has been around here for 6 or 7 years. He has been that determined to play in the NFL. On and off the roster, he's always around the quarterback. Tell us about him.
Well, you're absolutely right. He has been around for a while, and early in his career he had problems with injury. You know, he'd come on and he was right ready to make the ball club, and then he'd break a hand, or he'd some other injury would occur that would keep him from, you know, sustaining a full season's effort. He was on injured reserve or that type of thing. And thank God, because of this guy, I mean, it means the world to him. I mean, I don't know if we have anybody. He's in here on Sunday nights, even on away trips, trying to watch the film from the game. That's the kind of commitment that he's got and the kind of passion he's got to become a great player. And, boy, I'm pulling for him big time because I just know how much it means to him. And he, when you talk about emptying your bucket for the team, Jeremy Mincy empties the bucket for this team each and every week in practice and certainly on Sundays.
All right, one more guy that we want to know about, Matt Roth, who came in late, a tough physical guy, has played linebacker, has played with his hand on the ground, is, you know, now a left defensive end here. What do you see from him?
Well, a very talented player. You know, he played collegiately at Iowa and you know, came into the league as a guy that could be an outside linebacker in the 3-4 and did do that some with Miami and even in Cleveland last year, a guy that's got that kind of versatility, but strong, powerful, and tough. another very determined player. He's been a great addition to our defensive front, and in terms of attitude, in terms of work ethic, and certainly productivity. I mean, this guy can not only hang in there and against the run, but can put pressure on the quarterback, as evidenced by the very first play of the defensive season for us with a sack.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's take our final break. We'll come back and wrap things up with Coach Mark Duffner on the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. A couple minutes left with Mark Duffner here. And, Coach, let's talk briefly about the importance of the punt team. And not because it's struggling, but because you need it to be back where it was and what it means to your defense. When you have Kasim and Montel out there, and obviously you haven't had Kasim, hopefully get him back. Montel may be a couple more weeks. But to have those guys in field position in this league, if you have an 80-yard field, your scoring percentage is dramatically higher than a 90-yard field, isn't it?
No question about that. And you mentioned that the key words on the thing is field position. And, you know, our special teams have been a plus, you know, almost a given, you know, so to speak, and that's tough to do in this league. Russ Purnell and, as I said, Nate Ketcher do a great job with it, and those guys that cover the punts, you know, we're counting on that guy driving that ball downfield, the coverage getting down there and pinning them down there right now. Well, then the defense can take over and get them stopped in a three playing out, and then field position for the offense. So it's all about field position and very, very important.
Well, and I know that the casual fan thinks, well, that's only four or five plays a game, but over the course of a game, two or three of those take away scoring opportunities at a dramatic pace.
It's called hidden yardage, and that's the thing that we're always talking about. And, you know, we got to win the special teams war because of what it means in terms of field position, which then equals points. So it's the hidden yardage that you can gain from your teams, especially the punt team, the kickoff team, and the return teams is invaluable. The biggest play in football.
You have a rugged month coming up now, and in the NFL, they always are. You get Cincy at home, then you go to Pittsburgh, then you get the Ravens at home, then you go to Houston. Let's just focus on one. What would one win do for this football team, looking into the teeth of a very difficult October?
Oh, well, you know, we're excited about the opportunities, and you work all year long. I mean, you know, for just 16 opportunities. Now we're coming up on game number 5 and what Coach Del Rio calls the second quarter of the season. And, yes, against very talented teams, but doggone it, we're a talented team. And so we work hard to get that winning feeling, and we're going to continue to do it till we get it. And once you get that, then you want more of it. You become a little bit greedy on that. And, you know, that's when we think it's okay to be a little selfish and greedy in terms of wanting to win. So we're very anxious for that feeling.
You know, when Coach is on here, we do keys to victory. You know, this week it would seem turnovers would be as good a key as anything with a rookie quarterback on the other side of the field. You know he's going to throw a couple errant balls because they always do.
Well, I know that they're working real hard on the offensive side on ball security, both at the quarterback, receiver, and running back position. And we have been a little short still, even with the two picks. We should have had a couple more. We should have had about four or five the week before in terms of the defense. And although in practice we started off the year really working hard at taking shots and trying to get the ball off of backs, we're focused back on that in terms of a very intense way this week as we go into this practice plan. We've got to get the ball back and for our offense, and getting that done will be a major key for us for victory.
As much as we talk about how the punt game lengthens the field and shortens the scoring opportunities, a short field for a rookie quarterback, you'll get past that 10 points any day.
No question about that. And that's where I talk about giving field position for our offense, allowing them to score is what we're after.
Coach, thanks so much for your hour tonight. We really appreciate it.
It's been great to be with you. Absolutely. And Joe. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Good luck in the practice field
this
week.
We'll take all we can get with that. Look forward to it.
Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you.